Okay, we will make the attempt then to go on, beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number F80F, sixth installment here, page 232. So there is, therefore, says the Tibetan, the individual experience in Libra of the balanced life wherein experiment is made, and the consequent tipping of the scales in one direction or another until either desire or spiritual aspiration weighs the balance down sufficiently so as to indicate the way the man must go. So, in spiritual aspiration is here equivalent to spiritual desire. Really the same thing. At this point. Interesting about experiment, as we have for the advanced man the experimental planet Uranus involved in this sign. Maybe trying one thing, trying another. We have some interesting situations today where people are unsure of their sexuality and they go from one orientation to another, even involved in sex change. This is a kind of a Uranus in Libra process. It's quite extreme, quite drastic, but it shows the experimental attitude. So desire will lead back to those five signs or six signs which are the signs of the sheep who are blinded to real spiritual values. And spiritual aspiration will lead forward into Scorpio and the subsequent signs where the inner journey to the essence of the human being is taken. So for the time it operates in such a way, the way the man must go at the time. He'll have another chance if he makes the wrong decision, or the decision when he could have made the decision for spiritual aspiration, not all can, and makes it instead for materiality, he will have another chance to correct that error. Let's see here. I want to make sure that I have, yes, my red brackets. There is the experience of humanity in Libra, not just this is. First, we're talking about the individual, okay? Now there is the experience of humanity in Libra. We're there. Many human beings are there right now. There is the experience of humanity in Libra in which the same adjustments and experiments are being made. But this time, the entire race of men is involved and not just the individual. DK has said that the whole issue of sexuality is being decided in Libra by the rank and file of the human beings. The decision being made for disciples is more in Scorpio. So there is a balancing of desire going on in Libra for the average human being, and which way their desires will tend or trend towards something better, not necessarily explicitly spiritual, but towards something better at least, or towards the old familiar ways. This is being decided right now by humanity as Libra becomes stronger in the planetary horoscope. Disciples, however, are being challenged in Scorpio. This group experience carried out upon the mental plane, because Libra is an air sign and a mental sign and has fifth ray Venus involved, and really a number of mental planets, Venus, Uranus, and Saturn. This group experience carried out upon the mental plane will only happen when all men are polarized mentally and will take place and constitute the judgment day referred to above. Well, it is clear not all men are polarized mentally. So we have a long time to wait until one of the fifth rounds for this to occur. Sometimes it seems that it must be a fifth chain round, and other times it seems a fifth scheme round. We'll eventually have to work this out. The possibility of making a truly conscious mental decision exists in Libra, but for the moment people are swayed by their desires, and the tendency of their desires decides many issues because they are far from being mentally polarized. It seems that the Judgment Day will involve great decisions among the race of men, three-fifths of whom will decide for the spiritual life, but the other two-fifths will either have insufficiently developed the mental vehicle or will have overdeveloped it and thus will be in danger of treading the material path with deliberation. And they will all be transported for some kind of further education to other points and other spheres. Okay, so this will constitute the Judgment Day, the group experience carried out on the mental plane, and will result in three-fifths or perhaps two-thirds of human beings remaining on our planet. Of this, the point of crisis in Libra and the present world situation and needed adjustment is the forerunner. So this was being written at a time when in a rather Libran interlude between two wars which were aspects of the same war, interestingly. And so humanity needed to decide whether it would place its emphasis upon the illusions introduced by the Axis powers, or would decide for the Allies. I think the inchoate demand of humanity was for the more spiritual path, even though it was the Lords of Liberation who seemed to add the type of impetus which contributed to the defeat of the Black Lodge and those human beings they sponsored, the Axis powers. So the point in crisis in Libra and the present world situation and needed adjustment is the forerunner of the Judgment Day. Okay, so let's see. Let's say forerunner of the Great Judgment Day. It seems severe enough. DK assures us that the Judgment Day, though operating mostly or relating mostly to the mental plane, will be far more severe than the present decisions we are making in relation to the physical plane. This time the balancing is, however, upon the astral plane. We are not yet to the point where men can make that decision mentally. They are by and large astral in nature. Perhaps the bulk of humanity is mostly astral in its nature. Maybe only 20 or 15% of humanity are truly mentally focused. So this time the balancing is upon the astral plane, and the desires of men are predominantly in this position of casting the deciding factor. I think we see this in various elections. It is not necessarily clear and rational thought that is motivating the electorate, but rather the desire to see fulfilled the position of one candidate or another. So he who can speak to the desires of human beings, either lowering them into a crystallized condition or elevating them towards a higher ideal, such an individual will win the election. We need more light brought into these great decisions. Humanity is making a tremendous decision at this time. I think the lines of demarcation are getting clearer all the time. We either go back to a lesser state of consciousness, in which so many of our advances are swallowed up, or we manage to persist with a better way. Possibly that can be done. The consequences are tremendous at this time, and an age of darkness, which DK calls initiation or reinitiation into Earth, could occur. We are in that position right now, and I do think in a way we are deciding during the next 13 years before the year 2025. So we must elevate the desires of human beings somehow. And we need to learn to speak in an elevating way to the desire body, arousing a desire for higher possibilities, speaking to the best desires of men and strengthening them, and not pandering to their basest instincts. In an election year, such as we are having here in the United States, both types of speech are occurring. So the desires of men at the present time, not as it will be in the future judgment day, but at the present time, are casting the deciding factor. Whereas in the next great cycle, it will be the minds of men which do the deciding. But I suppose the mind will speak persuasively to the desire body, and the desires of the men of the time will align with that which the mind indicates as most valuable. Today, the foremost men of the age, disciples, aspirants, and the intelligentsia, I suppose in descending order here, are being tested under the Scorpio experience, whilst the masses are in the scales. This is what I was saying a little earlier. It's almost as if I have read this before, and possibly am remembering a little bit in anticipation of what is said. Said better, of course. Today, the foremost men of the age, disciples, aspirants, and intelligentsia, are being tested under Scorpio experience, and there are still decisions to be made there, too, and great battles to be fought. But the issue is clearly one of whether spiritual values will prevail, as mentally determined. I mean, there is a great expression of the mind in Scorpio. The mind is said to be strengthened in Scorpio. And I've referred to that reference a number of times. And the intelligentsia, disciples, and aspirants are far more using the mind to decide. The weight of mass desire will turn the masses either up towards spiritual decision or down towards material and selfish ends. To a degree, this a great decision was made during World War II, and it seemed that the trend was towards a spiritual decision. Certainly there were great opportunities. The forces of evil had been beaten back, certainly from their most manifest presence on the physical plane, but quietly they worked behind the scenes, and one wonders whether, in a way, the situation is not now worse than it was before. We have to solve this third-ray, sixth-ray problem, financial manipulation and bewildered, misguided, ignorant, blind idealism. Okay. It is because of this balancing quality in Libra that this constellation can be associated more specifically with the problem of sex than any of the others. Not necessarily sex per se, but with the problem of sex than any others. And of course, We have Taurus and Scorpio, as he says. Sex is usually connected in the mind of the average astrological student with the signs Taurus and Scorpio. And this is probably due to the fact that the bull is so frequently regarded as the symbol of the mad urges of the uncontrolled sex principle. And because in Scorpio, the fundamental tests vis-a-vis these urges is applied, or are applied, because in Scorpio the fundamental tests are applied. So there is kind of an attempt when an individual is aware of being tested and wishes to be tested, there is a factor of restraint applied. DK tells us it led to a cruel and illogical repression of sex by Christianity, a Scorpionic religion. So sometimes there is a great indulgence under Scorpio, but oftentimes the willful suppression of various instincts leading to a warped psyche and to disease of various kinds, even physical. So he's going to tell us here about the particular relation of Libra to the sexual impulse and to the great problem of sex at the present time. And DK has said elsewhere that the problem is so great that even the hierarchy does not know where this problem will end. We see all kinds of abuses of the sex principle and its fundamental purpose, which is the production of vehicles for new souls or for incoming souls, is sometimes forgotten in the egoistic use of sex, a kind of sex magic, the use of the principle for other and unwholesome purposes. The bull is so frequently regarded as the symbol of the mad urges of the uncontrolled sex principle, and because in Scorpio the fundamental tests are applied. For most aspirants in the early stages, sex does constitute a fundamental problem. And, you know, the path of aspiration is ruled by Libra, and some balanced response to these energies has to be worked out. Esoterically, however, it is in Libra that the whole question comes up and will increasingly come up for answering. You know, probably some sort of, let's call it even a legislative response. Some laws, some judgments made, which will be for the safeguarding of humanity with respect to the sex impulse. The sex impulse can only be abused for so long by so many before humanity itself comes into danger. And it is in Libra that the balancing of the pairs of opposites must take place. This is male and female, of course, as well as the soul and personality. And reach solution through the activity of the judicial mind. Reach solution through the activity of the judicial mind and the establishing of a point of equilibrium between the male and female principles. And we do see this occurring now. We see certain Martian ideologies and religions which attempt to maintain the supremacy of the male over the female in all kinds of undesirable ways. We also see a more enlightened approach which considers the male or the female simply as a person and looks for the right form of equilibrium between them. This is not an easy issue because for a long time, males have had great prerogatives that females have not shared, although in Atlantean days it might have been entirely different. But for now, we've had these patriarchies which have suppressed the female, and those prerogatives are cherished by some who identify those prerogatives with their identity, their lower ego, their lower self. So it is who they are to be a male. And this issue is being worked out in Libra now. Venus must balance Mars. Venus being the soul, Mars being the personality, Venus being the symbol for the female and Mars for the male, of course. So I think we can see what political systems and what religions work against the establishing of equilibrium and which work for it. This again, for it is a piece of recurrent symbology, is the problem existing basically between the sheep and the goats. Well, I suppose between the ancestral gods serving the elemental lives, the sheep and the goats, with their dedication to a higher form of deity or spiritual energy. We can't serve the elemental lives and the divine lives at the same time very successfully, although Libra sometimes tries, but still there is a final resolution where it has to go one way or the other. So this is a problem existing basically between the sheep and the goats. The sheep go towards Aries and Mars, and the goats go towards Capricorn and Venus, the hierarchical ruler. So we have this question of the orthodox ruler of Aries, indicating the blind and mass way, which tends to emphasize the male principle, and eventually the exaltation of the soul, well, not exactly exaltation in the astrological sense, but the elevation of the soul with Venus as the hierarchical ruler of Capricorn, indicating transfiguration of the soul life. So this is a problem existing basically between the sheep and the goats, between negative and positive, between those who blindly follow, you know, the sheep is blind in a way, doesn't have good eyesight, blind following the blind, as we see when they jump over the fence. I've seen that actually. It's kind of interesting. I said, goodness, these are sheep following each other, jumping over a fence. So between negative and positive, and between those who blindly follow either instinct or custom, that is the sheep, who blindly follow either instinct or custom and think it is very good and fight against any type of change to it, and those who climb freely where they choose and are self-directed in conduct and attitude, and eventually as the unicorn are directed by higher forces. So see, as a unicorn directed by the soul. So which way will it go? Will there be a establishment of equilibrium? Because in traditional societies at the present time, for the most part, the male is dominant. We can say, well, look, is the first ray dominant over the second? Because in a way, the male is the first ray and the female is the second. There's other ways in which the female is the third. But we have to remember that we're in a second-ray solar system on a second-ray planet, so the love-wisdom principle, finally, is dominant, though full of understanding. This works out in the Masonic Lodge as well. Shall the chair of the master be the first ray, or shall it be the second ray? Mostly it's been the second ray, because the second ray is dominant. In the next solar system, we may have another story. Okay. But I may have erased something here, so I have to be very careful getting rid of that. Okay. Okay. This self-direction of the goats, for a goat is not necessarily a redeemed creature, may lead them in either direction upon the wheel of life, following either selfish desire or spiritual aspiration, but at least it's better than blind subservience to the mass consciousness, out of which you can't make much. You can wait, and eventually it will be rightly directed if the beneficent forces of evolution have their way, uninterfered with by man. But the point to have in mind is that, judicially and with intent, and after due reflection and balancing of the various ways, they then do as they will, and as seems to them right and desirable. So they make a judgment. They stand as the judge, and with mind, and with will, and with reflection, and balancing against one another the various possible ways, they do as they will. Now, the Venus rulership of Libra is connected to the Venus hierarchical rulership of Capricorn. In Capricorn, though, Mars is exalted, and Mars is in detriment in Libra. So once the soul gains the ascendancy through transfiguration, the Martian nature, which is the strength and personality of nature, can serve that transfigured consciousness. So they then do as they will and as seems right and desirable. This is of itself of a basic usefulness, and therefore and thereby they learn, whereas being simply a sheep going on the way of outgoing with the first six signs, or the five signs if we include Leo, Virgo, this is not a way of useful learning, but just going along blindly without knowing why you're going on, simply following your instincts. Learning occurs, but not nearly as rapidly as when the person makes an individual decision judicially and with intent, after due reflection and balancing of the various ways. For all action produces results, and the judicial mind weighs cause and effect more correctly than any other. Now, is that the fourth ray mind, or is it simply a factor of mind which can operate with any ray controlling the mind? But it is a careful mind, a weighing and balancing mind. It looks at alternatives, and it tries to be objective in its and unbiased in its examination of the alternatives. So he has mentioned the word judicial, or maybe three times in connection with Libra here. And he tells us that the whole sex problem will be solved judicially, and probably as a result of a community process. Somewhere we're going to be told here that in the future, men and women will have to justify, again, judicial justify, why they should be married. It will have to be of value to the community. I suppose this doesn't say anything about relationship per se, but it does talk about the marriage relationship as related to the welfare of the community, and then a judgment will be passed down as to whether the marriage will be recognized by the community. That's interesting. It's very different from the way people marry today. He says here, it is not my intention to indicate the solution of the problem of sex. I guess he is submitting it to our judicial minds to work out, and not in the short term either. He says, humanity will inevitably, doesn't sound immediate, work it out as the eons slip away. I think it's only when two-thirds of the people are on the path that the normal sacral center function can, which is closely connected with Libra, can in some way be reduced. Right now it's undergoing great stimulation under Uranus Libra, the power of Uranus and the seventh ray associated with the sacral center. So humanity will inevitably work it out as the eons slip away. What is an eon? It's another one of those frustrating words. Do we mean as the great cycles elapse? Do we mean as the Platonic years pass, 25,000 years at a time? As the rounds continue, Would it be that far into the future? I suppose certainly by the time of the judgment day, it will be worked out, mostly, because everyone will either be, who remains with Earth, will either be on the path or at various of the more advanced stages of the path. And this will happen as the herd instinct gives place to the premeditated and self-conscious attitudes of the aspirant and intelligentsia. So it's almost like Taurus will give way to Libra. When you're dealing with premeditation, we think about the planning that goes on under this judicial, judgmental sign, which looks at all kinds of contingencies and consequences compared to the mad dash of the instinctual nature in the undeveloped Taurian. So, and when he says herd instinct, of course, immediately we think of the bull or ox, something of that nature, those who go in these herds. And this herd instinct will have to give way to the premeditation of the more conscious mental attitude of Libra. But he does go on to say, in defense of the herd instinct, I would remind you, however, that the herd instinct in relation to sex has its basis either in normal and natural animal instinctual desire or in emotional attitudes, since Taurus does, in a way, rule the desire body and the whole principle of desire. And of these, the last category are by far the worst and carry with them, by far, the more deep-seated seeds of trouble. After all, it is glamour on our planet, which is the worst of the three, worse than Maya, worse than illusion. And Taurus is associated with that glamour. I'm thinking, the Axis powers and how Japan was an example of Maya, he tells us, Italy of illusion, but Germany, interestingly, led by a Taurian, was the example of glamour. And so the astral body is a united, undivided body, and its troubles are of a greater nature on our planet and in this solar system. The normal sexual instinct under Taurus is necessary for the propagation of the race. But the emotional attitudes, which are tied up with the exaltation of the ego, lower ego, these can lead to wandering on the path of selfishness, great selfishness, and eventually can lead to the left-hand path. So he's warning us of the sexual problem, and he's giving us perspectives on it from the point of view of Libra, yes, but also of Taurus and Scorpio. So these are the more deep-seated seeds of trouble in certain emotional attitudes, certain emotional cravings, which are really unwholesome in their nature. Unwholesome. They range all the way from the stage of free love and a general promiscuity to the orthodox, narrow, and bigoted Christian angle, that's more Scorpionic, as it is normally understood, though not in the sense in which Christ viewed life. So this general promiscuity, you know, we might say is more related to Taurus, although all kinds of signs are involved, obviously. And the narrow, bigoted Christian angle, this prurient interest in sex, more suppressive. Uh, and related to Scorpio. And the complexes that we find in the Scorpio person are far deeper and more difficult to deal with than are usually found in the Taurian. Interesting that Freud was a combination both of Taurus and Scorpio, with the Taurus sun and Scorpio rising, and Mars in Libra, where the, so all of the three signs which DK has implicated in relation to sex were extremely active in Freud's chart. And he seemed to be obsessed with the idea that all human psychopathology arose from the sex instinct, or perhaps the thwarting of the sex instinct. Various blockages and fixations with regard to that instinct. So Christ did not view life in this way, DK is saying. And again, the Scorpionic St. Paul coloring of Christianity, with Paul having such a terrible struggle, I suppose, in his own nature, presumably also with the sex instinct, colored the whole presentation of Christianity to the world. This narrow viewpoint and the normal Anglo-Saxon attitude and outcome of the teaching of the Middle Ages, and this teaching also Scorpionic, but involving the hardline rays and the fifth root race, and the idea of fixity of thought. So, fixity of thought and idee fix, the combining of the sixth ray of the age and of Scorpio with the fifth ray of that subrace, gave certain fixations, crystallizations of thought with respect to the sexual process, which had been most inhibitive. So this narrow viewpoint and the normal attitude of the Anglo-Saxon here, and this is some time ago, of course, we've been through the sexual revolution to an extent, but you would wonder whether DK might just call this free love and general promiscuity. Anyway, it was probably our response in a rather low way to the assuming of the vehicles of the Buddha by the Christ in 1966 or so, when all of the revolution began. So these two approaches regard sex as unusually sinful, not just, I mean, the major sin, even undesirable, of course, which is contradictory to the propagation of the race, and as something to be lived down and overcome and kept secretly in the background of the Christian consciousness. I guess this is how it used to be and still is perhaps among some, although there's been tremendous changes, where it is hidden as a prurient mystery. So it's certainly not integrated. The Christian attitude leads to the non-integration of the normal sexual function. And this is, of course, not going to be wholesome, because wholesomeness refers to wholeness, and to the wholeness of the entire human energy system. And if something is suppressed and even repressed, i.e. forgotten, remaining unconscious to a large extent, it cannot be integrated and the man cannot be made whole. So this, again, is due to the influence of St. Paul, but not to the teaching of Christ. What an amazing coloring Paul gave to the expansion of the teaching of the one he accepted as master, eventually. So we really have to be terribly careful about how our own personality attitudes may skew the presentation we make of the teaching of the one we follow, whether it's DK, KH, M, whomever, any one of the masters, we may somehow misrepresent them, even with good intentions, because we have not sufficiently examined the distorting potential of our own personality. From these attitudes, there has been a violent reaction which is today at its height. And this, in its turn, is both undesirable and dangerous, as are all violent reactions. If we swing too violently between the pairs of opposites, we bring ourselves into an unbalanced state. And in an unbalanced state, the mechanism can fall apart. So from these repressive, suppressive, Victorian attitudes, these are not the attitudes necessarily of the classical mentality, but more of the 19th century Victorian approach, there has been a violent reaction which is today at its height, and this in its turn is both undesirable and dangerous. So I guess DK would say that the kind of sexual license that he says is at its height in the days he was writing this, what would he say now? Unless he's thinking in longer time periods. Certainly during the latter part of the century it expanded even more than in the 30s when this was written. Of course in the 20s it was pretty rampant, but the Depression, the Great Depression, may have put some damper upon it. So from these attitudes there has been a violent reaction which is today at its height, and this in its turn is both undesirable and dangerous, as are all violent reactions, for the one is as untrue as the other. And we really do need judicially to solve this issue, because the extremes of license and suppression seem to be focused in the signs of Taurus and Scorpio. For one is as untrue as the other. Okay. And so the judicial mind must enter and evaluate the situation and come to an unbiased conclusion, which allows a true balancing and eventually a true merging of the opposites in service of the larger community and of the race. It is at the center of the scales or the hub of the wheel that the true perspective as an indicated action can be seen correctly. So he's saying that the judicial attitude of Libra is exactly what we need when faced with either license or suppression. And we have come a little ways in this, perhaps. The corrective is now in process, but still the old methods of both license and suppression are being touted as desirable by different factions. When the basic sex relation is finally established, and soul and body, negative and positive, I assume here that the soul being positive and the body negative, are permanently related in the lives of world aspirants, not just happenstantially related, related now and then in a flickering sort of relationship, but permanently related, in other words, the degree of stable soul infusion, then we shall see the right handling of the world teaching on the subject of physical sex. So more world aspirants then have to rightly relate soul and personality and thereby come into the state of mind whereby they can pass judgment upon the way in which the sexual function should be expressed. Of course, DK talked about aeons elapsing before humanity would deal with this, but at least among the advanced human beings and the intelligentsia, their lives can be handled in a better way with respect to this problem. Then we shall see the right handling of the world teaching on the subject of physical sex. In other words, perhaps this better perspective can spread all over the world and at least affect the intelligentsia. This teaching will come, okay, this teaching will come from the merging and synthesis of the best views of all the spiritually minded teachers in both hemispheres. It's balanced, right? It involves both hemispheres, another Libran merging, embodying the experience of the East and of the West, and of the mystical and the scientific approaches to the mystery, which is both physical, requiring scientific understanding, and mystical, requiring spiritual interpretation. So we say a solution not from one source, but from the best of many, both East and West. In other words, again, let's call it balanced solution. It will involve the aid and conclusions of the medical profession, the scientific understanding relating to the physical body and the mystical relating to the psyche, but the medical profession will be involved, the aid and conclusions of the medical profession. There's been quite a bit of sex research done over the last years, and those conclusions have been brought forward in order to give the needed wise physical instruction and the aid also of the cultural knowledge of the yogis of India in connection with energy flowing through the centers, in this case the sacral center. So how to manage the sacral energy in a useful way, how to manage sacral energy for the benefit of the soul and of the race, and not simply wasted through indulgence, because then the higher faculties will not be built. So many are the contributors to the solution of this problem. Many are to be the contributors to this solution. Even so, DK said, the hierarchy did not know where it would end. So serious is the problem at this time. The misuse is extensive. Perversion extensive. Finally, through the intelligent activity of the judicial and legal-minded men of the world, the search for a balanced and desirable point of view will come to an end. So the legal profession will judicially offer its conclusions. Out of the many sexual experiments now going on, the coming generation will arrive at a point of balance. Now, what is the coming generation? Did this really happen? The coming generation, in a way, let's say three generations even, followed the time of the writing of this book, if we consider a generation to be about 20, 25 years, if that is the way the word generation is being considered. That point of balance perhaps has not arrived. But maybe DK is considering the word generation in a larger scope. So meaning those who will come in the next 100 years or 200 years. The new batch of enlightened thinkers, the new aspirants and disciples. Out of the many sexual experiments now going on, the coming generation will arrive at a point of balance, and then, as a consequence, they will tip the scales in the desired and desirable direction, and they will be the thinkers, and they will be able to operate from the plane of mind. And it will be not their desires deciding, but their judicial mind deciding. And spiritual values will be weighed against material values in the question of sex. Of this, there is no question of doubt. This is coming, he's telling us. There is only the point in time, and this will be astrologically determined, perhaps related to the coming in greater strength of Libra into the planetary horoscope. Through the legal minds and through right legislation, sex will be seen eventually to be a proper and divine function. And this, of course, we have so much pornography now, so much abuse, so much exploitation, that we have not reached this point, certainly. We cannot, world pornography is really a problem. And the pornographers are not presenting sex as a proper and divine function. It's terrible abuse. So sex will be seen eventually to be a proper and divine function and will then be safeguarded. So there will be reduction of sin against the Holy Spirit, as it were, will be safeguarded by right education of the young and the ignorant. Now, there has been much more sex education lately, mostly from a physical medical point of view, but the education has not been spiritual, emotional. And those areas of the human being have also to be rightly educated and safeguarded. And he goes on, and the right action of the young and highly intelligent emerging generation, the children and babies of today. So there is, probably there has been some movement towards solution, but not yet is the problem solved, and not yet is sex seen as a proper and divine function, perhaps by some, perhaps by the highly intelligent among the emerging generations, probably three of them having appeared since the writing of this book, maybe four. It's been almost 80 years, 75 years, maybe three generations. So time seems to be required, and Saturn is the ruler of Libra, a counseling patience. If one has ever been involved in any legal process, one knows the extent to which Saturn is at work and patience required. But at least among the thinkers and those who are well educated spiritually, a solution can be found over the ancient tendencies towards indulgence and the reaction of suppression causing disease. Well, both cause disease, actually. The teaching of wrong sexual habits, he says, the example of widespread prostitution, and he's using this in connection with men as well as women, so the using of sex for commercial purposes or for some other than intended purpose, the growth of homosexuality, not in its rare physiological forms and predispositions, which he says provide some of the saddest of all cases, but from the angle of a perverted mentality and an unwholesome imagination, he's pretty strict on this, which today lie behind so much of its expression, the narrow-minded Christian inheritance of a guilt complex where sex is concerned, I think so much, well, endorsed by the Christian Church, Catholic or Protestant, and the heritage of disease and over and under-sexed physical bodies have brought the race to its present chaotic and unintelligent handling of the important problem. He really is including all of these factors as part of the sex problem and looking at them all as undesirable. The Dalai Lama has talked about sex largely in terms of the propagation of the race, its real purpose, the emotional attitudes that he decried involving unwholesome imagination, involving types of relationship which were never intended, imagining that somehow they are really natural. All of this represents for humanity a real deviation from divine law, and this occultism emphasizes Well, we're getting to the end of, maybe I'll read just a little more. The solution will not be found through religious pronouncements based upon an outworn theory no one would listen, or through physiological inhibition, which will cause diseases of various kinds, unless the individual is truly exceptional and knows how to transmute, or legalized license that anything is allowed. No. Neither will it come through legislation inspired by various schools of thought in any community or nation. It's hard to legislate the instincts they will always find a way to express. Legislating desires is like Saturn opposed Mars. Not very successful. It will be the result of the united activity of the spiritually minded consciousness, the judicial attitude and the intellectual perception, and the steady urge of the evolutionary process. This is marvelously stated, where the solution will come from. It will be the result of the united activity of the spiritually minded consciousness. What is sex for, after all, in light of spiritual development? The judicial attitude, what is wise, what is balanced, what is least destructive, most beneficial? The intellectual perception, we can control our desires and instincts from the plane of mind, and the steady urge of the evolutionary process raising mankind's desires. Nothing can prevent the inevitability of the solution and the appearance of the desirable attitudes and conditions wherein sex can find right expression. So this is the promise. But the problem is very real. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 80. F, six parts to this. Let's see if it all works. And page 236. Page 236. I will, before sending these out, attempt to give you a little summary of what is covered in each section. And we will begin Esoteric Astrology Adventure 81, A. And for now, we've been exploring both Scorpio and Libra in a rather deep way, as we can only do by meticulously searching, thinking about what DK has said, line for line, word for word. It seems to be the best way to study thoroughly and as exhaustively as possible, and perhaps deeper understanding will come to us all. So let us then use the great invocation. We're right at that point. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Okay, friends, I'll get this out to you as soon as I can. A little bit has to be done to make it usable for you, otherwise it's a very long download. but some of you may wish to do that anyway. So for the time being, wish you well, and we'll continue with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 81. Bye for now.